Good day, everyone, at Golf WRX and Wisdom in Golf Land.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
We got one of our favorites, Alabama man, Jamie Lett. Dude, we have him on the line here. How are you, man?
Hey, good afternoon. Fantastic. How are y'all?
Oh, how y'all? I love that.
I love y'all.
Doing so great.
Warm. That's so warm. I love it. It's so cool. We don't hear that often up here, buddy. Love that Southern hospitality. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So I hear you've been you've started your season. There was a couple of events in March for you, and I hear you got like about four events coming up in April.
Yeah, April has we have four events in April. Played two events in March. So have a couple of weeks break here, two or three weeks of break, and then and back at it again. So maybe the next 3 weeks I can work out a few things and going forward.
Yeah, man. And that's what we're here to help you with. We had a little preview as to what was going on, and I heard you had a beautiful win to start out the season, and we would just absolutely love to hear about that.
Okay. So the first event of the season was down at in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Everybody knows where that is.
Roll Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
It was a good golf course. First time I'd ever played it. It was a chapter event. I didn't get a chance to go down and play a practice round or anything, so I just kind of showed up that morning. And first thing I always do is go to the putting green to kind of check out, you know, what we're dealing with. And the greens were absolutely terrifying fast. Like, that's the fastest greens I've put it on in 10 years probably. And so I that's kind of how I set up the day. I can kind of say, okay, if the greens are rolling 13 and a half on the stint meter, then I know the score's not going to be crazy low, if that makes sense. My whole game plan kind of revolves around that in a way. So I just thought, okay, I'm just going to go out and try to, you know, just stick to the plan and just sort of, I knew I could, you know, I knew I was hitting it really good going in. So I plan on hitting it good. So I thought I'd be okay. But anyway, so the greens, they did end up playing a factor. Everyone I talked to afterwards were like, you know, man, we had 5 3 putts and all these things, but I was proud to say I only had 1 3 putt, and it was the very first hole, the par 5, and I hit it on the green in 2 actually, and I 3 putted for par. And then after that, I kind of settled in. I hit 2 shots within a foot, so I tapped in those, and then I hit another 2 par 5s, 2 more par 5s in 2, and 2 putted for birdie. So I had 4 birdies and 14 pars, and you know, it was a nice win to start the season out.
So you
get the season going,
and you won by how many?
7. The next 74 was the next lowest score.
That's nice.
So it kind of tells you how the course was playing really, really tough. It was really, really tight golf course, which I love. Out of bounds basically on every hole, right and left. So I kind of like that. It just made me focus a little bit better. And so I usually play good on those types of courses. So it was it was a really good way to. That's, get the season started off.
Well, that's when you know that your routine is humming, because you have you know what you want to avoid, obviously, but you're really focused on where you want to put the ball, and you, everything that you do is in relation to where you want to put the ball, and that's where you're going to shine on any golf course, really. And so I heard that you've been struggling with a little bit of putting lately.
Yes. So, and even that day, I look back after I put all, you know, I kind of keep I don't really keep a ton of stats, but I do like to keep, you know, putts and things like that, just because I can kind of look back on the end of the year and see what I need to work on. But even I shot 67, but I still had 31 putts. So that tells you, you know, I only missed one green, and I don't think I even come close to missing a fairway. So it was really good ball striking day. And as we get into this, I think I've kind of determined, you know, the difference is, you know, on a shot, one, I believe I can hit the shot, but I totally commit to it. I'm just dedicated to the flight plan every time. I'm not letting myself hit a shot until I'm ready, that type of stuff. So that's changed my life. But I think I'm so into that now. When I get on the greens, it's kind of like I just sort of let down a little bit, like, well, my job's over, you know, the 450-yard par 4 and water on the right, out of bounds on the left, and I just, you know, stripped the drive and hit 8-iron to 8 feet, and then it's like, okay, you know, jumped over, and I get up there and 2-putt and go on to the next. You know, I'm just not making anything, you know. So
we're going to change that.
To the next event.
Yeah, we're going to change
that. So the next event, this past Monday, the next event was down at Pensacola Country Club. So tremendous golf course. They used to play a PGA Tour event there for a long time, 20-something years, and it's a great course. And so I went down and played a practice round on Sunday and played really good. I played with three other pros, and I putted really good on Sunday. We had a little match, and I had 6 birdies and 12 pars and shot 66, and I was playing really good. I felt really good. I think, I don't know what exactly the difference is, but and on Monday I went out and probably I hit it just as good, maybe better. I think I missed 2 greens. I hit 16 greens, but I had 38 putts.
Wow. Were the greens a little different? Were they faster? Was it windier? What was the deal?
Not really. The weather was kind of the same. I don't know. It was,
was it speed?
Maybe that you can help me with. Yeah, it was both. It was, okay. There were really, really grainy Bermuda down here in the South. We have Bermuda grass and it's super grainy.
You bet.
And I, you know, I would leave one short, then I would hit, I'd hit the next one 5 feet past, and I'd leave one short. And it just kind of got in my head. The first 3 holes, first hole was a par 5. I hit it on in 2, and I 3-putted for par. That's no big deal because I left my second shot. I was probably 70 feet from the pin, and so it was a really hard 2-putt, but that was okay. The next hole, I hit it probably, you know, I don't know, inside of 10 feet, and I missed it. That's okay. The next hole, though, is when it, for some reason, I'm only 3 holes in now, so everyone can kind of relate to this, I think. They moved the tees up for us, so we have a drivable par 4. It was out of bounds probably 10 yards right of the green, and just a huge hazard on the left side. So there was really nowhere. Most people were hitting 7 irons, but I hit my driver. It was 310 yards, and I drove it to about max 2 feet. I mean, 2 feet from the hole, maximum. five or six people behind the green watching it rolled up there. I couldn't see it. I knew it was really good, but I didn't know how close it was. The guy told me, man, it lipped out. Just, you know, and it was like 2 feet. So I missed that one. And then from there, it was all day long. It was just like I was holding on for dear life. I don't think I tried to make a putt the rest of the day. I was just trying to get them close. I don't know. Okay. First time I've had a feeling like that, just hopeless. Yeah, it was weird.
Okay, so that people definitely can relate to that. But here's what you do, man. So let's just rewind. Let's say to the first, like you had that 70 footer. And the second putt, how far were you for the second putt?
Probably 4 or 5 feet.
Okay,
you know, somewhere like that. It wasn't bad, but really, it was just. Yeah.
And did the putt do anything? Did the 4-footer, did it have a break on it, or was it pretty straight?
No, yeah, it was pretty straight.
Into the grain, down grain, side grain.
Yeah, it was kind of side grain.
Okay.
Kind of going away from, you know, kind of down grain, side grain.
Okay, good. So you were basically keeping it inside the left side of the hole.
Yep.
All right. Now, you're ready to hit the putt. You're standing over the putt. A, is your arm putter unit in balance under your shoulders? Do you know how to balance the arm putter unit under your shoulders? So if you were to do a practice swing and you were to swing back and through without stopping, you know what our perpetual motion drill is, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure, yeah.
So if you swing the putter back and through without stopping and you just let the weight of your arms and putter swing freely under the shoulders, you would see that arm putter unit would form an arc. It's your arc. And it would form that arc at a very specific distance between your feet and where it is, right? So that's basically where the arm putter unit fine-tunes itself. It's like a tuning fork. It's just hanging there. So if you were to dock a ball, so let's say if you put a ball in front of your putter while it's hanging there in the center of your stance, and if you just let the weight of the arm putter unit swing, the ball would basically come straight out of your setup. Okay? So practicing a putting stroke is a waste of time because your anatomy is already designed to balance itself out. And you'll see that with guys like Dustin Johnson, who struggled with putting forever. They take this beautiful back and forth swing, and then they reach the putter to the ball and barely move their feet. So now the arm putter unit is away from their body, and they literally have to hold it on that line with the anterior deltoids of their shoulders, the front part of your shoulders. You'll literally feel the need to hold this. So if you hold your arms out in front of you, right away you feel the anterior deltoids firing. Okay? So if you let the arms hang, you feel no engagement of any muscles in your shoulders. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and I you just kind of rang a bell for me. Yeah, that is exactly. I think that is it. And I think that is a lot for me. I know it was a ton of tension. Like I had a lot of tension. That's the first time when the round was over. You know, I was kind of glad it was over in a way. It was like, it was weird. I was on the greens. I mean, I was full of tension.
Right.
There was no free flowing.
So
nothing. So that's, yes.
So that's number one. The stroke has to be balanced under your shoulders. And so the distance between you and the ball is preordained by that, okay? So now, once that putter is swinging back and through beautifully and it's just hanging there from under your shoulders, then just walk it in to where the ball is. And your ball position definitely needs to be a little forward of center if the putter head occupies center position. You understand?
Yes.
All right. So now, what we're doing is we're using the weight of the arm putter unit to roll the ball into the direction that it wants to go, okay? So once you've done your homework and you've read the putt and you've lined yourself up, the acid test is you just take a backswing and stop and feel like, hey, if you let the putter head fall, it's going to fall through the ball and into the direction that you want the ball to roll in without any of your interference. Can you sense that?
Yes, and that is, that's where I'm at in my full swing. That's exactly that's it, yes.
So you're letting the flow of that full swing go in the direction that, of your flight plan. Here, you're letting the weight of the arm putter unit roll the ball into the roll plan, okay? So let's say that four-footer, you want to roll the putt. If 6 o'clock is straight in, 6:15, just so the ball is hugging the center left of the hole, okay? So you've got it lined up. You're ready to go. When you are ready to pull the trigger, do you actually see the ball rolling into the hole, Jamie? So my eyes, literally, I put my eyes about 2 feet short of the hole, and I would visualize the ball rolling into the hole, just left center of the hole. And I would see the ball disappear into the bottom. If it's a fast downhill putt down grain, I'm seeing the ball roll over the front of the hole and follow the front of the hole into the bottom of the hole. Can you see what that speed is in your mind?
And that's, yes, I do not.
I'll give you an example. If you don't see the ball roll into the hole before you stroke it, Jamie, that's like me coming up to your house. I'm thinking, maybe that's his house, maybe it's not, but I'm looking at your house. Doesn't mean I'm going to walk into it. But if you said, hey, Sean, there's the address, walk through the front door, come on into the backyard, we're having a barbecue, let yourself in. Well, then I see myself walking through your door, through your living room, through your kitchen, and out in the backyard, and hey, dude, here's my beer. where's the cooler, right? There's a big difference. If you don't give your brain permission to enter the hole, your brain's looking at the hole, and it's asking you, what do you want to do with that hole? I can see there's a hole there. What do you want to do with that? And you're saying, practice stroke, don't miss. Well, yes. To your brain, that is not a ball going into the hole. That's where the tension comes from. The anxiety is you not telling your brain what you want to see. And then the brain going, please don't yell at me when I miss this putt. Okay? So yep. When you're lined up and you feel that, hey, if I let the weight of my arm putter unit roll the ball in the direction it feels like it wants to go right now, it feels like the ball's going to roll out into the direction I want it to go. That's A, right? Then you turn your eyes to where you want to see the ball roll in, and you put your eyes about 2 feet to 3 feet short on the short putts, and you see the ball enter the hole, disappear into the bottom, okay? And then once you see that, your eyes come back to the ball, and then you just let momentum react to that. So I'll give you an example. If you and I are facing each other about 6 feet apart, or let's say 10 feet apart, and I hold the palm of my hand open in front of you, and I say, Jamie, just toss a ball and let it land nice and soft in the palm of my hand. And you would go ahead and do that. Nobody ever fails this, okay? And then it would land nice and soft in my hand. You see the arc, and you're just reacting to that. You would never have to think about how far back you'd have to pull your hand. You just react to the picture that you see. So then I pull away a bit more, and I say, okay, see the two logos right in the shirt placard, right in my solar plexus. Let's see you toss a ball aggressively right on my chest, and I'll catch it. Can you sense the difference in velocity with that underhand toss? Okay?
Sure.
So if you have a slow, into the grain, uphill putt, 10-footer, you want to see a failed Evel Knievel leaping off the front of the hole and hitting the back of the hole on the way down in the last 4 feet, all right? And if you've got a slick downhill putt, you want to see the last 4 feet, the ball just easing its way slowly and then just dripping over the front of the hole into the bottom of the hole. This takes care of your distance control immediately. Everything revolves around how you see the ball roll into the hole. And then you just react to that. You just let momentum roll the ball into the picture you just saw. Okay?
Yeah.
So we good so far?
Yes.
Did any of this happen in that round?
Honestly, no. No, no. No, I can't. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's amazing. No.
So, I mean, Jack Nicklaus said it best, and he was the best clutch putter of all time. He says, I never missed a putt in my mind. He would never pull the trigger until he saw that ball roll into the hole the way it was supposed to roll in, right? So let's say you've got a 25-footer that's bending to the left, and you've examined where the fall line of the green is, and you're thinking that ball's got to enter at 4 o'clock. It's a deep putt. Right? So you know the ball is going to start taking the break. On a fast green, it's probably going to take the break in the last 8 to 10 feet, right? On a slow green, the last 4 to 6 feet. So 10 feet out, you should see the ball starting to trickle off because it's going downhill at that point. And then you see that ball enter the hole at 4 o'clock and just roll into and drip into the left edge, or the right edge, pardon me, of the hole. So once you see that picture, you can now line up to the picture. And what are you lining up? You're lining up the flow of momentum to that picture. So once you feel that your setup matches that picture, you then do your acid test and you say, yep, look at that. The putter wants to naturally go that way. So I don't need to guide it. I don't need to make sure. I just, now I'm in a position where I can let it go. Terrific. Then you bring your eyes back to 10 feet short and you see that ball roll in at the speed you want. Your eyes come back to the ball and then the stroke just takes care of itself. You simply become a witness at that point. The interference is all gone. You've done the homework, and you're just handing over the putter to gravity. Okay?
Yep.
Now, as far as alignment is concerned, now, alignment can really play tricks on you when you're putting because our side vision is such a beast. And if you let side vision take over, you'll never see the putt properly. So obviously, you examine everything from down the line, and you see it with your binocular vision. What I like doing, because oftentimes you line up the logo of the ball, and you check from back behind, and you say, yep, that fits beautifully. And then you get beside the ball, and you look at it, and it looks off.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that?
I do that all the time.
Yeah. So your side vision's yelling at you right now. It says, I don't see it that way from here. Well, that's when you need to tell your side vision to shut the heck up because it is always 1,000% wrong, okay? So you say, okay, that's the line that I need to respect and I'm going for, and that's the line that you're letting your momentum roll on. So if you want to use the line, you're using that to set up the flow of momentum. So and then when you take your putter head back for the acid test, you feel like the putter head wants to fall in that direction. So now you're lined up the way you need to be. Then your eyes go back to how you want to see the ball roll in. And then when your eyes come back to the ball, you're not trying to fit the putter to the line anymore. You're just reacting to the picture. Okay? So if you're able to detach yourself from the line that you see, then okay, you can do that. But many of my students can't, I mean, it's such a distraction. It just looks awful and they can't let themselves go. Do you find that for you too, Sav?
Yeah.
Moo, what about you, man?
Yeah, side vision messes with me all the time.
All the time, right?
Yeah. It's like as soon as I look with my side vision, it just triggers a button in my head. It's like, oh, are you sure about that, man? Like,
are you sure about that,
that's man? Why, well, that's yeah. why at one point I stopped lining up the lines on my yes. balls and I just went with my gut. Mm. And just like what I actually saw and not trying to depend on a line on the ball.
Well, Savannah is, because she knows how to use an absolute reference. So here's the deal. Let's say you have a straight uphill putt. Do you find those, the straight putts are a little annoying? Mm-hmm. Right? When there's a break in it, it's a lot easier, but when it's straight. So what you do, here's what you do for straight putts, okay? You line up way too far left. So you say, okay, if I let momentum go, it's going to go way too far left of the hole, and there's no hope for the ball to roll in. Now you have an absolute reference, and it's mega important, okay? So then what you do is you do just like Lee Trevino. You ever watch Lee Trevino set up for a shot? He lines up way too far left, then a little less left, then a little less left, and when he stops wiggling, you know he's taking the shot.
Mm-hmm.
That is so, so important. It's amazing how efficient that is for your side vision. So there's a way, that's the way that you can actually train the side vision to see it properly. So from the absolute reference too far left, you go a little less left, and you look again, and you say, yep, there's no way that's going in. How do I know? Well, I'm basing it on my absolute reference. So then you go a little less left. And then the brain says, yeah, you're getting warmer. And then a little less left. And as soon as you feel that it's in the hole, it's like alarm bells go off in your brain. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's like the radar of a fighter jet. You know, the radar's sweeping in front of you. And the fighter pilot's holding the jet pretty close to where it needs to be. And the radar starts to sweep. And then it catches a rebound, and it sweeps again, catches the rebound. Then the computer locks in, and you're done. Just push the button, and it's gone, right? So it's the same thing with your brain. You take it from too far left, You bring it back a little bit, confirm that that's a little bit less and it's still not there. A little bit less left, a little bit less left until the alarm bells go off. You can trust it 1,000% after that. It's in the hole. Okay? Mm-hmm. You'll really enjoy practicing like that. And it's something that you can easily take to competition so fast. All right? So now you got 2 weeks to get the putting on the same line of thinking and the same routine as your long game. And it really is the same thing for when you're chipping, because when I'm chipping, the point where I want to land the ball is in full relation to how the ball is going to go in the hole. So I'm seeing the ball roll in, let's say the green is sloping from left to right, and it's a little bit uphill, and I can see that the ball has to enter at 7:30. So from 7:30, I draw myself back to where I need to land it. So I said, if I land it there, takes a hop, takes the break, goes in, I'm going to do that with that particular club because I need to land it there. And I know if I land it there, the break should take it right into the hole. So now all I got to do is figure out how much momentum I need to land the ball where it needs to land. And then you just, little Goldilocks, that's too strong, that's not strong enough, that's just right, boom. And then I just let it go to that landing spot. So any questions so far for putting?
No, that's perfect. You know, you're talking about it, it sounds a lot like what we do with the full swing. You know, you're giving yourself these commands and you're, you know, the visualization, all those things. And I just, I mean, it took hearing it from you actually is just to kind of, that's what I need to do. Why I don't do the same thing on the green is I don't understand, but,
you're just not used.
Make it a whole lot easier.
Yeah. You're just not used to working that way. Right. So it's set up the balance in your stroke first. So distance to ball and ball position. That's very simple. Once it's hanging there, just, you know, waddle yourself in front of a ball, right? And it's like docking a boat into the dock, right? You back it up, you bring it to the side. Okay, we're docked. So the putter head's hanging. It already wants to swing on that line. So once that's set up and you did your little acid test, if you need to, if you feel it's balanced properly, don't worry about it. I mean, at one point when you get a lot of confidence with the putter, you don't need to do that anymore. And then all you need to do once you're set up is you got to see the ball roll in the way you want it to roll in at the speed you want it to roll in. And that gives permission. Then your brain goes, oh, that's what you want to do. Oh, well, I can do that. Mm-hmm. Versus, yeah, I know there's a hole there and I can feel the heart beating out of your chest. What do you want to do with that hole? Just don't miss. Man, that's just like insanity itself right there, right? So that buddy will take you to the next level that you need for putting, and I'm seeing some really cool rounds in your future.
Yeah, I hope so. I think so. If this comes together like my full swing has came together in my routine, it's very exciting. Yeah,
it will, man. And if you have any questions at all, if you want to send me some video footage of your putter, please do. Okay. It's the least I can do for you helping us out with these podcasts. It's such a blast to have you. The last thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I feel really terrible about not answering your New Year's Day email.
So typical of Dad. When you said that, I was like, I'm not surprised.
Holy jumping, man. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to leave you hanging like that, especially New Year's Day. The email you just sent me, and I'm looking, I'm going, and I go back to your email to see your phone number to call you today, and then I look right underneath that, there's an email that's unanswered. I'm going, what's that? And then January 1st, and you saying Happy New Year and all that stuff, and you're all enthusiastic, and I'm going, oh my God, I left them hanging. I can't believe I did that. So
you're a busy guy, I understand.
For all of you out there who have done that, and I left you hanging. Now you know why. I'm just an airhead sometimes, and I get a little overwhelmed. Okay, so yeah. Please don't take it personally. I love all of you, okay? So, and what you mentioned in the email there, I mean, it's because obviously you're a pro, and you're a role model for a lot of the golfers around you. And that's an important position to be in this game, right? Because if you can influence a couple of people to stay with the game and enjoy it more than what they do, it is a big shot in the arm for all of us, right? I mean, this is a big team effort. And you mentioned that you would love to teach and do some work with us. And man, we would be absolutely honored to have you on the team. We have one more guy in Alabama. I forget the school he's at. Alabama's that's a big state, man.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you say that you already coach a few people, and I'm sure that you've already passed on some of the tips that you've learned from us. So,
what
are your ideas? What are your plans? What are you thinking of doing?
Well, of course, that's I'm a PGA professional, so I work in the golf business, obviously, but yeah, I'm kind of a coach by nature. I've coached basketball before, high school basketball. I've coached different, you know, stuff like that. So, my whole thing is kind of just, you know, to encourage that person to, you know, find the game within themselves, you know, to kind of believe in themselves, not a technique. You know, it's like, you know, I want you to be better at, you know, being you and enhance what you have naturally. That's kind of always been my theory in everything I've ever done. And then when I discovered you guys, I'm like, man, you know, this is not a guy teaching all these swing positions and all those things. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just not something that I felt was benefiting to me people. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Like, that's the way to find yourself.
You know, yeah, for sure. I saw so many, you know, pretty good players come by, you know, 10 handicappers, this type of thing down here, and get a lesson from this guy and end up quitting the game. You know, and that happens way too often. And I've always thought that's a problem in itself. And so, that's when I see y'all, the first thing now, every lesson I do, the first thing I see is, okay, what are they doing naturally? And how can we make that easier? And I had a guy tell me last week, he said, Jamie, you know, you're a terrific teacher, but he said, I'm telling you, you're never going to be a top teacher because you make things too simple.
Really?
I just kind of like, he told me that. He's like, you know, he said, he was telling me how much he enjoyed the lesson. He said, but you know what? He said, everything you say and do is way too simple. And you're making it too easy, and you're never going to be a top teacher if you keep doing this. And I just kind of giggled, and I said, well,
what's the logic there?
Enjoy yourself. You know, I don't know, but that's kind of the culture.
Jamie, tell him it worked for me.
I do that all the time. I'll hit a ball for them if they ask me to, and they'll say, well, it looks like you barely swing at that thing. And I said, well, you know, I do. You know, there's really no effort.
That's it.
It's pretty simple. And, you know, this is how our body works. And I kind of go into the things I've learned from you. And that's kind of what I tell them. That's, I don't want to feel like I'm, you know, kind of copying you or anything. I know this guy, Sean Clement, and I've got these things from him. Mm-hmm. I've learned this from them. And this is the greatest thing I've seen. I mean, I know you get that all the time, but I really do. I think it's changed the way I look at the way I look at it, my game, and you know the others that I'm helping as well.
Well, that's the greatest compliment right there, man. Because if you're using our tools in your toolbox to help people, and you're helping people feel great about their abilities, and that's what I get up in the morning for. I get so jacked. I mean, I look at my daughter right now. And, you know, in the last week, we had a dozen balls over 280 carry. Dude.
Yeah.
For a 125-pound little girl, you know? I mean, she's working in the gym with Moo, and Moo's turning her into a beast right now.
Yeah.
And you look at Moo, he can truly benefit from the greatness of an athlete that he is. I mean, the guy's an unbelievable athlete.
Thanks, Sean.
You really are, man. I mean, it's just it brings a tear to my eye when I watch him crush a 7-iron 215 carry. And I know I've played with him. I mean, we play with a GC quad, and it is so accurate with the shots that we hit. It truly represents what we see on our golf course all the time. And then people, you know, we have so many. Well, we don't have that many. But we have a lot of naysayers that come in, and it's usually when the Golf WRX posts one of our videos, and then you got a lot of the gearheads that get in there and go, "That's impossible! You can't hit the ball that far with that club speed." Blah blah blah, and it's you know, and it just gives us a lot of nice fuel to our fire.
It lights a fire under my butt.
I know,
because half the time it's always just like, "Oh, she's too small; she can't hit it that far." I'm like.
What did you hit your 6-iron today? She's playing.
My 6-iron was like 180 carry.
So and a 180 carry 6-iron, she's playing the Apex Pros, which are not, you know, the lofts aren't beefed up. And it's 120 feet in the air. And it's landing at 49 degrees descent angle. And, you know, so you're not, it's like.
It's like
the girls can do it too, baby. You know?
It's because it's like I'm not like pulling it out of my butt. Like I'm actually working hard for it, you know. And like for people to just say, "Oh, she's a girl and she's too little and she can't do that," it just grinds my gears.
Like what happened recently? The talk about the LPGA. They say they want to shorten the courses, so they make the girls look better and have them come in with a little bit less club and all that. I'm going, please don't do that. I mean, so many of our students say they love watching LPGA Tour events because those are the distances that they're accustomed to.
It's more relatable.
And it's way more relatable to them. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think they should sell is the relatableness, if that's a word.
Relatability?
The relatability.
Is
the
that a word?
The relatableness. To
no, for sure. I tell you what, Savannah, she's getting unrelatable. Even for me, I watch her on Instagram, and I'm like, I can't hit it. I mean, I'm out here trying to just kill myself, and she's bombing it past me.
It's unreal.
Whatever she's doing is working. You know, it's actually inspired me, an old man, to start exercising a little bit. Yep. So, Moo, you're inspiring me to exercise. You know, for what you're doing for Savannah, it's amazing.
That's the goal. It's just to marry the two, fitness and golf, you know, and just make a nice harmony between the two.
That's it. Yeah, well, Jamie, I mean, we invite you to, you know, get with Moo, and he'll put you together if you wanted to start a fitness program. I just started mine, and it's super simple. The way that the app works in Golf Fit Pro, Moo will set you up with a great program very easily, and you know we want to if that's the deal, if that's what you're looking for, we want to set you up with that. Nick Randall coaches Cameron Smith on the tour, and you know Cameron Smith has picked up a few yards. So we're more than happy to help you in that department. I mean, I know the season is here, and you probably want to do that more in the off season. But you know, you can at least start a conversation with Munashe on that. And man, this guy's getting really sharp on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
So, well, there you go, man. That was a great conversation with Jamie. Really appreciate your time, man. Yeah. And, you know, stay close with me in the next couple of weeks with your putting. Let me know how things go, and let's stay, let's dot the I's and cross the T's on that in the next couple of weeks, and we'll get you ready for April.
Yeah, for sure. I've got a lot of notes here I've just taken, so I'm going to go straight to the putting green right now, actually. And start practicing on some of this.
Well, right on, man. Enjoy. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you all. See you all later.
Take care.
Always a pleasure, Jamie.
Thanks. See you.
Bye-bye. Well, wasn't that super?
Yeah.
What an awesome conversation.
It's always a good conversation with him.
You see how adept he's getting? Like, he is locked in.
Locked in.
I mean, 16 greens in regulation.
That's what I want to do.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's fun.
I want that too for myself.
And it's like every time he goes out, he's got that confidence now, right? Whereas before, it was like, there's always a couple of holes where I'm messing up. And there's none of that now.
Yeah.
And now we're doing the same thing with his putting. Yep. He's going to be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Oh, unstoppable. Yeah.
If he's hitting par fives and two all the time. And
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's going to be good.
We're going to start rolling in some bombs for Eagle, man.
Yeah,
that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And with that little tweak that we did with your putting recently, Sav, you know, getting that right hand a little bit more under the putter. Mm-hmm. You notice when we were talking about DJ, when he was pulling that elbow back.
Right.
Notice that technique, and you see Joaquin Niemann doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's because of that side vision.
Right.
Okay. It's so strong, and you were trying to turn yourself, and all of a sudden the ball position gets a little wacky, and then all of a sudden you start pulling the putts,
right?
Because you're not seeing them properly. Mm-hmm. So that alignment we talked about, and the arm putter unit, you know, swinging back and through, there was a little wiggle in your stroke, right? Because that right hand was too much on top, and it wasn't anatomically complete yet,
right?
And now we got it nailed. And I saw the wiggle just disappear completely. And now now you got that tour quality putting stroke.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a great season.
I'm really excited. For me, I know I have the abilities to do well. It's just a matter of actually believing in myself and having that confidence in myself when I go out there. And I saw a quote from Mo Norman saying, "Stop being afraid of not doing well."
Isn't that nice?
And I was like, jeez, that's exactly what I needed to see. And I feel like I'm going to have, I bought myself a yardage book and I'm going to put that quote on it. So every time I take it out, I see it and, you know, I can just chill out, you know.
Mo, man, legendary wisdom, like with capital letters.
I was reading through, there's an article on all of his quotes and every single quote that they had, I was like, this guy's a freaking genius.
Yep.
Like, just like he was confident in himself. He knew his abilities.
That's what wisdom is. Mm-hmm. You've lived it.
Yeah.
Right. So you've from inside out. Mm-hmm. So that's when they say, you know, you've mastered your swing.
Right.
Jamie's mastered his swing.
100%.
You've mastered your swing.
Yep.
I've mastered my swing.
Yeah.
Right. Because every time I stand, Moo's on the verge.
Oh, yeah. He's like right there.
Right? Yeah, so he's like little, and then you're back. And then a little bit drift away. And then you're back again, right?
Yeah.
And every time you're back, it's back stronger than ever. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just keep massaging
my brain. Keep massaging. That's it, dude. Yeah. I love that. I could use a little massage right now. A little 55-year-old bones. Well, guys, with that, we wish you a fantastic week. And can't wait to talk to you again next week. All the best.
Take care.
Thank you.